Good evening. I'm blessed to be able to speak again. It truly is a blessing any time that we can proclaim the word of the Lord. This evening, I would like to speak about the subject of honor. Now, honor is a pretty broad subject, but I'll try to attempt to do a little bit on it. So, honor, as defined by the dictionary, is high regard or respect, glory, fame, good reputation, adherence to principles considered right, integrity. Some pretty good definitions, I think. Goes along with a lot of what the scripture. There was a newsman a few years back by the name of Tom Brokaw, and he wrote the book, The Greatest Generation. I don't know if many of you have read the book, but it's about those that served during World War II. The Greatest Generation. He talks about them being the greatest generation because of some of the sacrifices that they've made in their lives. They were people that went through the Depression, very hard, trying time. But not only going through the Depression and growing up through all of this, they were willing to go into World War II and make the sacrifice of their life. And when they got out, most every one of them would look at themselves and say, I wasn't a hero. I only did my duty. I didn't do anything beyond what somebody else would have done. What an amazing generation. If we could have that same kind of attitude in the church, think of what we would do. Think of what we would be. An attitude of self-sacrifice. Now, honor is something that begins with honoring the Son, with honoring Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. In John 5, verses 19 through 23, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, now notice this, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, Jesus deserves honor. He deserves honor from all of us. And unless we honor him, we do not honor God the Father. In Revelation 5 and verse 12, there is a song that is sung unto the Lord Jesus. There are 100 million angels that are singing this song. And I want you to get the picture of this because I think it's fantastic. If you can imagine, now some of you have been in arenas where there are maybe, you know, 50,000, 100,000, something like that, but 100 million angels singing. And it says, in a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Jesus is worthy. There are seven things that are mentioned here. That is perfect praise unto the Lord Jesus. He is worthy of praise. Now, there are ways for us to honor God. There are things that we can do. There are offerings that we can give to Him. In Psalm 50 and verse 23, it says, "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God." Thank offerings honor God. And I started working on this because I was thinking about Brother Earl Box. And you think about Brother Earl. And when he would get up here to pray, there's something that was very noticeable about his prayer. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you." Did you notice that in his prayers? He had that attitude of gratitude. "Thank you, Lord." His praises were to God. "Thank you." And God says, "These are the sacrifices that I want. These are what please me." It prepares the way for salvation. It prepares our hearts so that we can receive that grace and mercy that comes from God, that He can work on us, our heart, our life. That gratitude. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." And then sometimes we think about personal honor. You know, it's so easy to want somebody else to look up to us. Somebody else to think, "Man, you're pretty good." You know? That's a wrong attitude, though, isn't it? It truly is. Personal honor comes when we ourselves are willing to honor. And we must begin, first of all, in honoring God. In Ezra, the 7th chapter, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me." This is Ezra speaking, that he's extended that good favor to him. "Before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and gathered the leading men from Israel to go up with me." Now, Ezra was living in a land away from Israel. He was living in the Persian Empire. And the king summoned him and said, "I want you to go and teach my people that are in Jerusalem, to teach them the law, to teach them the commandments of God. See, Ezra was a priest, and he knew the law, and the king had been able to learn that Ezra was one that knew the law, and he wanted him to be able to bring that to the people in Jerusalem. God put it on his heart, and he honored Ezra, and he honored the temple. He honored Jerusalem. What a great thing that God did in honoring them. Now, Ezra went on, and he was used by the Lord in a great way, along with Nehemiah and some of the others. But it's because the honor that came to him was from him honoring God. He put God first. And then we are to honor our parents. Now, we look in the Old Testament, and we see in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20:12, to honor our father and mother. And I don't understand why people today often say that the Ten Commandments don't apply. This is one that does. It truly does. In the New Testament, we have Jesus referring to this of honoring our father and mother in Matthew 15:4, Matthew 19:19, Luke 18:20, and many other passages where he is not saying, you know, this doesn't apply today. In fact, he's taking and saying to the people, in Luke 18:20, he's saying to the rich man who had come and said, you know, what do I lack? And he's saying all these different commandments, and one of them being honor your father and mother. And the rich man says, you know, I've kept all of these from my youth up. And Jesus said, go and sell all you have and give to the poor. Now, he wasn't putting this commandment away. And in fact, Paul later on, in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Honor your father and mother. In Proverbs 20 and verse 20, there's a verse that I call 2020 vision. Now, look it up, because it is referring for vision for your life. If you honor your parents, then you have vision. If you do not honor your parents, then you lack the vision for living. Your way gets away from the Lord. We need to honor our parents. And this honoring is no matter what our parents are. Our parents can be good, wonderful people, or they can be the most dysfunctional. They can be the ones that are reprobates. The command is that we ourselves honor them. I don't see any distinction. Now, I'm not trying to step on toes. That's just what I believe. And now, the father, and I mean God the Father, honors those that serve Jesus. John 12 and verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will, now underline that, will honor the one who serves me. If we serve the Lord, if we give Him our heart, if we obey Him, then God the Father will honor us. That's where honor comes. In serving, and then the Lord says, those who honor God, He will honor. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. This is therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. God will honor those who honor Him, but those that don't will not be honored. Now, He said this to Eli. If you remember, Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, and they were not good. Phinehas and Hophni would take the best meat of the sacrifice. They would come in and they would force people to give them the meat. They were causing sexual sin. They were living and dishonoring the Lord. And Eli was not honoring God because he didn't step up and say, stop it. He didn't take and say, I'm removing you out from the priesthood because you don't belong there and you should not be there because you are dishonoring God. Now, today, we are a royal priesthood. And you think about it. We are the people of God, a royal priesthood. And when you think about the priesthood, we are to honor God. Now, there's also that of honoring one another. And how do we do that? In Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That kind of puts us down on this plane of the servant again, doesn't it? If you are honoring somebody above yourself, you're not saying, I'm better than you. You know, look at me. Are we? No. In Luke 18 and verse 46, Jesus said that we are to humble ourselves in order to be exalted. But our tendency and our nature is not that, is it? Because our tendency and our nature is that we want to be lifted up. We want people to look at us. We want people to take and say, you know, you're special. Which most of the time, you know, we're not when it comes down to it. I'm not. Excuse me. I didn't mean to hit that thing. See, I'm not even good at this. But anyway, Jesus gave us an example in that he was willing to wash the disciples' feet. You know, you think about, here he is, the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that holds everything together. And yet, with his disciples, he was down there washing their feet. And he gave us that example that we ourselves can take to heart. We need to be that kind of person where we do not exalt ourselves, where we are willing to take and serve. Now, we have many in this congregation that serve. And we need to honor those that are our leaders. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work." We are to respect them. And I will say that in this congregation, I think we have some of the finest leaders of any place that I have ever been. We are blessed. Let me say that again. We are blessed. And I mean that with all my heart. I've been to places where the leaders are trying to take and gain power, position. You know, here I'm in this position. You know, I'm the elder. I'm the boss. Leadership is not about being that of power. Leadership in the church is that of serving. Period. We are blessed to have Dan, Wayne, Don, Mike, Dennis, Carl, and Jean, and thank you to each one of you. Thank you very much. We are also told to honor widows. Widows are very, very dear to the heart of God. In Psalms, he talks about the widows and the orphans being very dear to him. God watches out for them. But in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, he says, "Give proper recognition or honor to those widows who are really in need." We need to be aware of the needs. We need to honor them. And then there's the honor that needs to go to masters, which in reality today, since we don't have slave relationships, in reality, it's that relationship that we have with our bosses. work situations. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1, it says, "All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered." And then in 1 Peter 2 and 18, it goes even a little bit further. It says, whether they are good or harsh. So no matter what kind of character that person has, we are to honor them. Now that's not an easy situation. I can tell because I've worked for a lot of years. A lot. But we are to honor those that are the bosses. Now, we are honored to honor all men and the king. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." Wow. Honor to everyone. Now, aren't we all made in the image of God? We are. And God wants us to be able to look at any individual and show respect. And that doesn't matter who that individual is. Now, we are also to honor marriage. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral." Pretty powerful passage. We are to honor marriage. And then we are to give to one another what is due. In Romans 13 and verse 7, it says, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, then pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." So, pay up, you know. That's what God is saying for us. To give it. Give it out. We are, each and every one of us, to honor God with our whole being. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 11, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's talking about the church at Corinth. They were having lawsuits where one Christian brother was taking another Christian brother to court. And Paul said that this was wrong. It would be better to be wronged. It would be better to be cheated than to take and go to court. But the attitude is that we are dishonoring one another when we do things that bring one another down. We are dishonoring when we take to court, when we take and revile in anger, when we hurt one another with sayings, whatever the situation is. We need to honor and not destroy one another Because when we destroy the church, we are acting carnal. We are destroying the gospel and its effect. What a sad situation that is. We need to be willing to have that self-sacrifice where we live with the self-sacrifice. Now, Paul talked a little about suffering. As you know, Paul went through so many things, being wrecked, shipwrecked, beaten, you know, even left for dead. But he writes in Ephesians 3 and verse 13, says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory or your honor. See, Paul went through the suffering not for himself. And yes, he did grow. He was being built up. But he was going through the suffering so that he would be bringing new life, bringing new Christians to the Lord. And he endured it. Now, Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 24 told us to take up our cross and follow him. We ourselves must be willing to endure pain, insults, sacrifice, whatever comes our way, so that the good news can be spread. And now I talk a little about some of the stuff that's going on overseas, the different persecutions. This last month, in the pamphlet I get about the persecution of the church, it was showing a lot of persecution that was going on in India. Now, there are provinces in India where it's all Hindu. And those that are Hindu do not want the church or the Christians or any other group to come in. And they have these people that are like bodyguards that go through. And it was talking about some of those ministers that were there and showing some pictures of them. They were stabbed. One of them that was showing had about 30 stabs on his back. You know, several of them, you know, were burned, beat up, you know, all kinds of different things. They're serious about stopping the spread of Christianity. But these people are willing to take and do whatever it takes to get the Word of God to those that are around them. You see, the salvation is so valuable. We need to have that in our heart, where that we have that love of God so much that it doesn't matter what's going on, what's happening to us, that we love God that much that we're willing to share, no matter what the cost. No matter. And I think sometimes we're very, very apathetic. We're people that want to sit down and watch somebody else do the work. Am I stepping on toes? I'm sorry. But I think it's true. We need also to honor for the right reasons. James 2, verses 2 through 4, says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man with shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You know? How do we react to other people? When somebody comes in that looks like maybe they're a street person, or somebody that's dressing and maybe kind of eccentric, are we willing to go up to them? To extend ourselves to them? You know? There was a minister a couple of years ago that he was taking over this congregation. It was a large one. It said 10,000 people. And the elders were behind him in doing something. He came to church, and the people, you know, didn't know him because, you know, he had talked with the elders and all, and the people hadn't really gotten to know him. And so he came, and here he had let his hair grow, and his beard was grown out, and he was dressed up kind of like a street person. He came in, and out of those 10,000 people that were there, guess how many came up to him and talked to him? 4. Most of the people, when they came up or came around him, it was, you know, looking the other way and going on. When he sat down, the people moved over. What kind of love? What kind of honor do you think that is? You know, we're to honor all men. Jesus associated with who? You know? The tax collectors and the sinners. Who should we associate with? Who needs the Lord? Okay. I want to conclude. I'm going to read you something. This is a eulogy. It's a eulogy that I gave at my father's internment. Because my father was a good man. His name was Noble Goss. And the noble means honor. And we live in a world where many people do not accept their personal responsibility. Instead, they blame others and say, poor me. We call ourselves victims. Papa, my father, was born to face many struggles. He was sick as a child. He almost died. He had asthma. He had many, many sicknesses. He lived in the time of the Depression. His family was large, and they had a lot of struggles. So he went to work at a young age. He went to work falling timber at the age of 15. And that was with the double bucking saw. And if you can imagine what kind of work that is. But he worked with one of my uncles, his older brother. So the two of them worked together at that. But then he served in World War II. He was a gunner's mate. I still have emotion, so sorry. But he served honorably. In fact, after he had served as a gunner's mate for a few years, he switched over his rating and became a coxswain. And those of you that are in the Navy know what that is. That's the person that steers the boat, you know. So, but he got out of the Navy, and he had, in 1944, he had married my mom, who you know here. They were married for 63 years before he passed away. And then, during that time, my brother was born first. My brother had a lot of heart problems. There were continual health problems. And so about 6 months out of the year that he would be in the hospital in Dornbecker in Portland with IV fluids that were going, penicillin, and of course then he'd develop problems with the penicillin. They'd have to switch it over to something else, you know, and you know how the game goes when you have health issues. So, but anyway, there was a lot of things. My father ended up with cancer. He had lots of pain. He had, because of the asthma, he took the drug prednisone. And those of you that know prednisone know that it destroys your bones. And after he had had a prednisone for over 20 years, his vertebrae started crushing. And the bones, you know, just there's nothing there as far as the substance of the bone. You know, it's kind of like milk mush. And he had a lot of pain, huge amount of pain. But through it all, he chose to focus on others and their needs, not his own. He was a giver that would stop to help the person with a flat tire, broken down vehicle, a person that was kind of down and out. They'd be at our house spending the night. That's the kind of person he was. He would even drive a person, you know, 40, 50 miles, think nothing of it, you know, and then take them back. You know, he lived by Galatians 6:10 that says to do good to all men, especially to the household of God. And his goal was to make all people feel like family, you know, that he treated them with respect. Now, I believe his exhortation that he would give to us would be Jesus' command to love. You can find it in John 13, verses 34 and 35. But his command for us is to love. to love like Jesus, a love that is humble, not arrogant. It's a love that is serving and not selfish, not ruling. And it takes God's divine grace for us to live like that. I wish that each one of us would allow the Father's love to work in our hearts so that His unconditional love would not only touch our hearts, but would work through us. This evening, if you are in need of baptism, if you need to give your heart to the Lord, to be buried with Him in baptism, won't you come? If you need prayers so that your heart can be that of a servant, giving, honoring others, then won't you come as together we stand and we sing.